I love good surprises. I love happy surprises. And sometimes I like giving them. I like knowing something that the other person doesn't know, that there's a surprise going to take place, and it's that, not in a deceptive way, I know something you don't know, but in the sweetness of I know what's going to happen. And if you're a person who has only read Matthew, Mark, and Luke and not yet read the Gospel according to John, then I know something you don't know. Because there's a story that shows up in John's Gospel, chapter 11. If you would make your way to John 11, that we discover something that John writes. It's this amazing miracle of Jesus that you would think Matthew, Mark, or Luke would talk about. But it shows up in John's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm so glad that it does. I'm going to read the verses together. I'll pause a couple times as we make our way to verse 21, but starting in John chapter 11, verse 1, it says this: a certain man was sick, Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary. John's talking specifically, just making sure we know which Mary it was. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3 says, therefore the sisters sent word to Jesus, said, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. I mean, this can be a frustrating part as we read the next few verses that unfold for us. Frustrating because they've sent word and that Jesus now has information. He now knows. They know he knows. And it's this point of Jesus, you could have done something. While there was time, they sent word. Hey, Jesus, he who you love is sick. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus preemptively says, there's going to be an opportunity in this for God to be glorified, for the Son of God to be glorified through it. Before, all we know is Jesus loves Lazarus. He's sick. He's received word. And Jesus said, this is going to be a moment. This is going to be a moment where God is glorified in the Son of God through this. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We've only made it 5 verses. Jesus, the one you love, is sick. Now Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again. And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But one who walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is in him. And he said these things that he said to them. After he said these things, he said this: our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I'm going that I might wake him up. Jesus knew what had taken place. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. And the disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. He'll wake up. He had been sick. He's sleeping. You think, oh, he's sleeping now. Don't disturb him. Let him rest. He'll get well. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. He'll go and may wake him up. Verse 12. His disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. Verse 13. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought it was speaking about resting and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Jesus had said that this sickness would not end in death. Lazarus is dead. Jesus, you said this sickness will not end in death. Lazarus is dead. The sickness was not the end of the story. Jesus did not say that Lazarus would not die. he said, death will not have the final say. This will not end in death. What they understood was that he wouldn't die, but Jesus was saying, this is not the end of the story. This will not end. Death will not have the final word. And he said this, verse 15. If you have read this gospel account, if you know the story already, it's like we're cheating. We know how it ends. The disciples didn't know this. Lazarus is dead. And then Jesus is happy about it. I'm glad for your sakes, he says in verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. I don't know how they wrestle with that. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas gets a bad rap because we usually just refer to him as doubting Thomas. And here's Thomas saying, Jesus is going there, I'm in. They're going to kill him, kill me too. Verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20, and Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. I sent word, my brother's sick. You love him. You didn't come. Now I'm coming to you. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Verse 21, and Martha says this to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 32, Mary will make that same statement. If you had been here, if you had been here, Jesus, if you had been here, if you had been present, when he had heard Lazarus was sick, he didn't move a muscle. Jesus was aware of the situation and he seemingly didn't do anything until it was too late. Now, if we were to continue to reading this story, we'd discover that even though when Jesus arrives to the tomb 4 days, Lazarus has been dead, it's not too late. I wonder if I can be like that, or perhaps if you could be like me, like that, if we say things to the Lord, Lord, if you would have been here, if you would have showed up like I was expecting you to. God, powerful God, if you would have been here, we wouldn't be in this situation. If you would have showed up, if you would have done something, we wouldn't be here at this tomb. We wouldn't be here at this grave. We sent you word, you didn't do anything other than you showed up when it was too late. The disciples in another place, in a boat when a storm arises. Jesus is with them, but he's sleeping. And they wake him up and say, do you not care that we are perishing? And it's that phrase that people can have a tendency of saying, don't you care? When God, you don't show up in ways that we are expecting you to. Or perhaps a more frustrating part, when we acknowledge that he is here and not doing anything as he could. The Red Sea moments, we've been serving God, we've been following God. God releases us, delivers us. We watch the Israelites triumphantly leave Egypt with rejoicing. And it says that they plundered the Egyptians. And God leading them through Moses, and he takes them on a very specific pathway. Not this way or that they'd see war and they might be afraid and return. Instead, he leads them to hemmed in mountains on either side, and now the Egyptians coming behind them, nothing in front of them but the Red Sea. And all we can see is an impassable situation. But with God, all things are passable and possible. They come to the Red Sea and think that they're done, but that wasn't the end of the story. Moses, have you brought us out here to kill us? Weren't there enough graves back in Egypt that you brought us here? And so I would suggest, when you face an impassable and an impossible situation, that there might be a smile that creeps across your face, and you're able to say to all the forces of hell, I know something you don't know. This is not the end of the story. It doesn't deny the hurt. It doesn't deny the difficulty. It doesn't deny the pain or the frustration. But it also doesn't deny the truth that God is good and He loves us. And He knows us by name. And we're able to declare that all things. We're able to declare that all things work together for good. Because we love Him and are called according to His purpose, not just our plan, not just our hope, not just the way that we see things need to unfold. We're called according to His purpose. Don't you find it interesting that John twice reminds us, before we know that Lazarus is dead, before we know the story of what happened, we just heard that he's sick and Jesus has got word. Don't you find it interesting that over and over John says, and Jesus loved them? Because we need to be assured of God's love. When we look at things and they're not working out and we say, God, had you shown up, had you been here, you could have done something. May it just be so solidified in our hearts and lives, we know this, that God loves us. Jesus loved them. And when we're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going through. Keep going through to the other side. We think that if God would have just intervened in the way we think He should, everything would be better and we'd have a wonderful testimony. Look at what God did. And I am grateful for the testimony of the story, if we would continue reading in chapter 11, of the people who had faith because of Lazarus. But do you know what else unfolds before us in chapter 12? They try to kill Lazarus. It wasn't that there was just this huge transformation of everyone. They heard the news that Lazarus was alive again and they plotted to kill him. Miracles do not keep people. Heart changes do. Miracles draw people. Miracles attract people, but they do not keep people. Throw your staff down, Moses, in front of the magicians and watch it become a snake. A great trick, we can do that too. It didn't change the heart of Pharaoh. On and on, the miraculous that takes place. Look at the life of Jesus and all the miracles. If we were able to record all of the things He said and did, John's gospel will conclude by saying, I suppose not even all the books in the world could contain them. If miracles kept people, we wouldn't have the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus would say, even if someone rises from the dead, they won't believe. And they tried to kill Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. We think, well, if God just worked a miracle, can you imagine how many people would believe in Him? Are you kidding me? We had 5,000 people on a hillside, more than 5,000 on a hillside. Jesus feeds them with a loaf, with a few loaves and a couple fish. And do you know what their response is? Now show us a sign. Have we lost our minds? Now, just one more trick, just one more thing. And I don't mean trick that somehow it was an illusion. But just one more miracle and then we'll believe. This somehow making a deal with God. Have you ever had friends like that? Hey, if you give me $10, I'll be your friend. They want your money. God, if you just do these things, then I'll serve you. If you just get me out of this jam, then I'll follow you. If you just work this miracle, then I'm in. It's not the miracle that keeps people. It's a heart change. And we believe in a miracle working God. And we're contending for the miracles and the miraculous. Jesus worked miracles and they killed Him. He saved others. Can't He save Himself? If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Aren't you grateful that He didn't prove that he could come down from the cross. But instead, he stayed on the cross. And it was not the nails that held him there. It was his love for you. His love for me. Love that knows no bounds. And on the cross, we look and we say that we now know something the enemy didn't know. That the cross was not the end of the story. And if you look behind me on our wall, there is a cross that many would think, well, that's the end of the story. But we have it fixed that we know that's not the end of the story. It would seem that that's the beginning of our story. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. If you've only heard of the death of Jesus, then I've got good news for you. You've only heard part of the story. There's something that you need to know. And it's not somehow that it was ever meant to be secret knowledge, this Gnosticism, secret knowledge, superior wisdom. I'm going to tell you 9 things out of the 10 that I know. I remember playing Nintendo games with my son, and I did that. There were things that I knew that he did not know, and I intentionally, and as he got older, I used every one of them. And he didn't know that you don't have to be focused on your screen. You can look at the other guy's screen. On and on. Now, it's terrible when we play. Even my daughter Robin beats me. They have grown. They've learned more than I ever will. It's not that kind of secret knowledge. It's not something. It's not I know something that you don't know. That's not the message we have. The message we have is I know something I want you to know. That there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's good news to all people. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know why God doesn't do the things. Some of the things answering the way that we would hope and we would dream and we would pray and we would call upon and we would claim and we declare it. And all of the things that we're contending for. And the answer is not always yes, and I don't know why. We walk through sorrows and we walk through struggles when God could and allows us to pass through some things. But I know this, that whatever we're facing, it's not the end. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. I remember, and if you've been here at Cornerstone for some time, it's not that I would think you would get sick of the story, but you have probably heard it numerous times. I remember in the hospital room, just the rock solid conviction as we were turning off the machines that were keeping my mom's body alive. The rock solid conviction, and I declared with our family standing around, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Because of the hope that we have. Jesus didn't say that we won't die, but he did say that it's not going to end in death. There is a day where we will die, but that is not the end. We have a hope, an assurance, and a confidence. And I know this. I am persuaded. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in this story of Lazarus, over and over again, we see John telling us, don't doubt the love of Jesus for Lazarus. Don't doubt the love of Jesus for Mary or Martha, even though that they passed through this dark time. Don't doubt his love. He heard the message. And he said, in this, God is going to be glorified. And in this, and through this, it will not end in death, but the Son of God will be glorified through it. And I say this to the Lord, and I say it before you to the Lord. God, whatever I need to go through that you will be glorified, I'm open. Because I know he loves me. And I love Jesus with everything that I have. And as imperfectly as I do it, I still say, Lord Jesus, whatever you want me to go through that will bring you glory, that will bring you honor. I know it's not going to be the end. Sorrow is not the end. There will be a day when every sorrow, every tear is wiped away from our eyes. And I'm okay with having some now if it's going to bring glory to Jesus. If the miraculous touch is going to be on our lives where people can see that we have a hope that is not based in temporary things, that our eyes and hearts and minds and lives are set on things above, not on things beneath. We have a hope when Christ, who is our life, appears. And we are forever with Him. So in between now and then, may we be about letting people know there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And whatever they are facing, may they know His love. May they know His power. We prayed, God, show us your glory. Show us your power. May the miraculous take place. I believe in the miraculous. Jesus said this as he called a paralytic to rise up. He said, that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. There is still miracle working power today, but it's not the miracles attract people, but they don't keep them. A heart change keeps people. God, change our hearts. May we be passionate for you. As we respond to His love, may we love Him with everything that we have. Rest in this. And we're not going to read the rest of the chapter where Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. That wasn't the point of the message. The point of the message was this, that God loves you. That God loves you. That God loves you. And may we be those who take the message of that love. Tomorrow morning at our workplaces, at our schools, in our communities, in our family, wherever we go, may we be able to communicate to people, God loves you. And He is presence. And He is at work. Let's go ahead and pray this morning.